have any.
I have a note here that says that that the planning staff recommendation has a few modifications.
Yes, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. There was an amendment to our staff report, which you received in a memo from me last week. It's a slight change in the wording of our recommendation. It was a typo. I hope it doesn't change the substance of our recommendation.
So we need an amendment?
We need a motion to amend.
So moved.
Second.
Let's call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Move approval of staff report.
Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter? Okay. I have a motion to approve.
May I interrupt? The reason that it was continued from last week, it's my understanding, is there was one change in the order that was requested by the claimant in this case. And so you have in front of you today a substitute order that has a change. So before voting to accept the staff report and before voting on the order, I'd certainly recommend you move the substitute order first, since that's certainly what the claimant is expecting today.
And you've reviewed it?
It was written by Catherine Beaumont. So.
Okay, have a
move substitute.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Motion to approve.
So moved.
There was somebody, I'm sorry, who did sign up for testimony. Did you want to take them before the Dominique Coletta? Yeah. Sorry.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm counsel for the claimant, and we were uncertain because we didn't have an opportunity to see the revised order until just before the hearing whether it would be necessary to testify, but we're satisfied with the order as revised and just adopted by the council. So we thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
There are two emergency votes that we have to consider before we hear the remaining claim. And the first is 376.
Authorized contract with Linda L. Hill, MS, to provide vocational rehabilitation services for the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund for the city.
Staff here to talk to this? Please come forward.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Babette.
Babette Heffley, Interim Director, Fire and Police Disability and Retirement. And would you like me to give a presentation or just answer questions?
Just a very brief presentation as to why this is necessary.
Okay. The FPDR Bureau has the need for professional assistance in the way of vocational rehabilitation services. Last year, we undertook the competitive selection process and have selected two vendors. Unfortunately, both ordinances, one was misplaced, and so you have in front of you one of the two selected vendors who will provide vocational services to the fund on behalf of its injured members. The types of services that they provide are to do vocational assessments to determine an injured worker's capabilities, prepare training plans if one is indicated, and then monitoring those plans. They will also from time to time be providing job placement services for our injured workers who are unable to return to the Bureau at injury, and other ancillary services. In addition, they'll be monitoring compliance with the board's administrative rules requiring pursuit of outside employment. So those are the general services, and we, after going through the selection process, did decide to pick two firms to provide these services, and the claims will be assigned amongst them. The Board of Trustees approved the contract, at one of their board meetings earlier this year.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you. Was there a sign-up sheet or?
I did not have one for this
item. Anybody here who wished to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 381.
Adopt competitive cable franchise application process in response to new federal regulatory mandates.
Please come forward.
Mayor, council members, I'm David Olson. I'm your director of cable and franchising. Just a brief presentation by way of background for this. It's unusual for us to bring forward to you. This is a recommendation of your Mount Hood, Cable Regulatory Commission. It's a recommendation that's going to each jurisdiction that's a member of that commission. The City Council of Wood Village and Troutdale passed this unanimously last evening. It's going to Gresham, Fairview next week, and Multnomah County Board of Commissioners tomorrow morning. And it's unusual for us to bring something like this forward, but we needed to respond to what we've been given by the Federal Communications Commission. By way of background, you may recall that telephone companies want to get into the cable business as the telephone business moves, changes, and erodes. They want new lines of revenue. U.S. Congress has worked on this for a couple of years. In fact, you may remember a resolution about the city position on congressional legislation and how local interests, including cable access and service to schools, need to be helped. Well, Congress adjourned, the last Congress adjourned in December without taking action on that legislation. And those cities were working with Congress to try to get an acceptable bill, and we'd brought resolutions to you on that. Well, into that breach, the failure of Congress to act, stepped the Federal Communications Commission. And they, on their own initiative in December, decided that the reason telcos weren't getting in the cable business was because it was the city's fault. In other words, local governments were an obstacle. None of us believe this is true. However, the FCC, on a partisan vote in December, strictly partisan vote, 3-2, passed a rule that in essence allowed telcos to get in the cable business in the worst way, that way being at the expense of your franchise requirements, including all of the access channels and services that you have presently. In essence, the rule the FCC passed would allow any telephone company doing business in Portland now to bring to you an application to get in the cable business. And no matter what that application said, if it said, well, I want to serve Eastmoreland or the West Hills, but I don't want to provide public access to council meetings, and I don't want to provide service to schools, I don't want to do any of these other things, but that's all I want to do, their application would become their franchise automatically in 90 days, automatically, if you fail to act. We think this is amazing. It's both legislation, it's preemption, it is absurd. And in fact, National League of Cities and many other folks have already filed the lawsuits against it. It's one of them. Even the FCC itself under the new Congress, this is front page of Washington Post last week, the entire FCC was hauled in front of Congress last week to say, what are you doing? But even though it's in court, even though Congress is looking into it, the fact of the matter is this rule goes into effect April 20th without some local action to possibly ameliorate and to curb its consequences. It could affect virtually everything you do in cable, including your access and support of schools. So your cable commission had an emergency meeting after the text of this was published March 20th. They then recommended a local rule that would mitigate the impact and at least force, when a franchise applicant comes forward, to begin to line up and show that they're going to meet the level of commitments you already have in your other franchises. We don't want to unring the bell and unring the commitments that have been put in place here over 20 years. So your commission has recommended to you a local rule be established so the local criteria can go into effect and we can protect what we have despite essentially a rampaging Federal Communications Commission. That's why we're here before you. Without this local rule, your cable commission has recommended a week from Friday that FCC rule goes into effect, and franchises would be granted to telephone companies based on their application with no action from you. So that's why this is before you. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. And we really appreciate the continuing interest and support of all of you to keep these commitments going out to the citizens of Portland and Multnomah County.
Okay. Questions of David? Thank you, David. Do we have anybody who signed up for testimony?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
Okay. Does anybody in this room wish to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, David Olson, Mary Beth Henry, our attorney Ben Walters for working at a pretty fast pace here too, in order to preserve some degree of local control over these decisions with respect to new franchise applications. So good work. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Now return to the 2 p.m. time certain. Please read item 383.
Accept staff report and recommendation and order of counsel for Gregory T. Kurahashi, Measure 37 claim.
Staff.
Mr. Kurahashi was notified by mail of his hearing, but I did not speak to him personally. That's my responsibility. But he claims he was not aware of it. We just called him. And so out of courtesy to him, I'd like to request that we put this over 1 week until next week so that he can be here to represent himself. I apologize for that.
Any questions? Any problem? Let us reschedule. What's the time certain for this?
It'll be next Thursday, the 19th at 2:30.
2:30 p.m.
Time certain.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Thank you.
We're in recess until 3 p.m.
All right. Standard.